Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This week in league, Noffa continues his quest to earn the Dally M by being the most valuable player to 15 other NRL sides.
Des Hasler sends a gift basket of a crate of Winnie Reds to Cliffy after Manly's performance in a game honouring a fallen club legend.
George Williams clears up confusion on his mental health claims and says he's sure vaccines are okay, but pretty certain the sound of Ricky Stewart's voice causes autism.
Plus, we look ahead to all the action for round 12 of the 2021 NRL season.
All that and more this week in league. Welcome to episode 402 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And you guys are a pair of cunts.
Wow. That's very unkind. You say that every... You start almost every episode that way.
Yeah, because every week, every episode even, you guys are a pair of cunts. That was quite an interesting opening, or attempt to open.
It was.
Members of our Patreon will have... unheralded behind-the-scenes access. A la Michael Jordan's The Last Dance to Blakely's The Last Line.
Yes. Yeah, because it was... yeah. Whenever it's notable, we have to throw it into Patreon so people can just see what we have to do to fucking get this podcast on the air.
See how the sausage is made.
Yeah, and I mean...
Like fucking do it, cunt. What are you waiting for?
Stop giving away the good stuff.
Welcome to the number one rugby league podcast on the planet.
Yeah, and also voted most professional rugby
really?
League podcast, or actually just podcast in general.
Before I came back.
Spoilers. The vote
We're
was
not.
Taken in 8-year-olds magazine.
Yeah. Yeah, fellas, how are we going?
Great.
Mate, it's fucking NRL Groundhog Day over here.
I hear you.
I keep waiting. Oh, no, I don't think you do.
I also hear
you. You know what?
For all the wrong reasons.
I do, because you're forgetting. You're forgetting that I've been through this. Fuck! I've been through this exact season that you're having before.
This is
nothing new. This is not. You've got to win another 5 games to get to the 1995 level.
When were you on a podcast with a pack of fuckwits?
I just said 1995. almost a decade before fucking the term podcast had ever been coined. We just called it sitting around talking into microphones. Didn't it? I don't even know if I had a computer then. Let me think. This fucking story's falling apart. God damn it.
Fucking hell. I wish this was a visual medium and we had somebody that was amazing with graphics. Because as you were saying that, I would have flashed something up on the screen. That said, Terminator 2 was like Nate. Groundhog Day. It's got you walking up. I want your microphone, your laptop.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, let's get the show. We're trying to bust out the show and bust it out tonight because Glenn's got stuff he needs to be doing. So we need to fucking free the man.
Oh, I have that has not been a prerequisite from me.
I'm sorry, man. This is potentially a very important moment for your family, and I'm wasting time talking about mashing Nate with a Schwarzenegger movie.
No doubt a Schwarzenegger movie that Glenn hasn't actually fucking seen either.
Motherfucker, I've seen Terminator 2. I have not seen Groundhog Day, though.
Fucking hell. You had the opportunity for triumph there.
No.
And you just blew
as
it.
As always, you should I just lie. Brought truth.
All right. There's a couple of half stories out there in the news this week that I thought though the first thing, and this because we don't run through the news stories on the Sunday night, I thought that you know we should at least pay homage to Bob Fulton, who passed away on Sunday after a long and not super public battle with cancer. Not super public, I'd have to say. I mean, it came to me. I remember when his wife was super sick. But I was unaware of once he dropped out of the public eye, of course, you know that's probably a large part of it. But legendary player, obviously a player of great importance in the history of the Manly Sea Eagles club, and as a player, great player, immortal, and then even more so for Manly as a coach. And so, I mean, it's all been done. The accolades have been dispersed on Sunday, obviously leading up to the Seagulls actually commemorating his death in an appropriate fashion, unlike other clubs that will remain nameless at this point for their legends. But it's sad. It's sad when we lose a great of the game and connection to the another connection to the past. But it's also, great to pay our respects to a wonderful player, a wonderful coach, wonderful Australian coach, and an immortal of the game who didn't have historical child sex charges unearthed against him after he, just prior to his passing, unlike the Dragons guy.
Yes, that is true.
This week, Izzy Flowers trying to get back into rugby league. The storyline hasn't quite played out yet, so we're going to leave that alone. However, I know that Stepdad is ready to launch on the QRL because what they've done is just deferred their responsibility. They could have made an outright call about whether he could rejoin or not, but they've kind of just deferred to contract law and the contract.
I don't know who's the bigger fuck-up in this situation, the media that reported on the story or QRL, because the headline was QRL's emphatic no to Izzy Folau.
Yes.
And you read that and it fills you with hope that says maybe, just fucking maybe, they've gone, having you in our game makes a whole range of the community feel unwelcome. And so we believe that having that whole section of the community feel welcome is more important than you being able to post things that are mean to people on social media and then expect to play in our code. I was really hopeful, but all they did was say, geez, Mr. Palmer, please don't be mean to us and threaten us with legal action. After all, we can't do anything unless Catalans releases him. This is about the rules around international players changing location or players changing international location. So even if we wanted to, which, spoilers, we really want to, we can't unless Catalans releases him. So you can tell us that you'll sue us on if we don't sign him by Wednesday or register him by Wednesday, but we actually can't do anything unless Catalans releases him. So maybe try and sue Catalans. And then go on to say, as soon as they do, we will register him. They then did go on to try and restrict how high he could go in the competition or in the grades.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he's getting airtime makes me absolutely fucking sick. And it is yet another example that all this is for is for clicks.
Yeah, and obviously Clive Palmer inserting himself in there, just being a fucking troll to ingratiate himself to his base.
Yeah,
which is exactly. Basically the Pauline Hanson's base.
Yeah,
Yeah, so.
Paul, it's One Nation voters who understand economics. That's Clive Palmer's base.
Yeah, exactly. There's a couple of transfer things. We're in the midst where there's a potential carousel going on, you know, prior to the June cutoff with Dearden, who is signed for the Cowboys from next season, could potentially head north because Blake Green has retired. Obviously he's been god awful for the Knights since coming back from an Achilles injury. He's retired. This could then see
what's it been, three games?
Yeah, three
did
games.
He, did he retire yeah, because of ongoing complications from his injuries, or just because he didn't want to train anymore? Because it looked like he didn't want to train anymore.
Yeah, it's probably he's just he's struggled coming back from the injury, and he probably feels that he doesn't have it, and I'm sure there are benefits to him retiring because it certainly helps Newcastle out.
Yeah.
Because they've got Jake Clifford as of next season.
Yep.
So then what happens is, it could open the door for Jake Clifford to come down, join the Knights, immediately or over the next couple of weeks and bolster their stocks, given that they're missing Mitchell Pearce for still quite a while because of the pec injury. So then after Clifford leaves the Cowboys, Tom Dearden, apparently today I saw reports saying that he was seen to be kind of saying his goodbyes to teammates and stuff at training.
Yeah, wow.
So that way that he can go and take up his deal at the Cowboys early, which is probably not a bad idea because then it gives him like half a season to try and build a combination with Drinkwater.
Yep.
And then see what but at the same time, Chad could Chad could be an early lever. He's been dropped by the Sharks this week. So he could be early. It was Todd Ballum. Sorry to see it now. Todd Ballum said that he appeared to say goodbye to Broncos teammates this morning on Wednesday morning training. And then we saw that the Knights could potentially have Matt Lodge coming their way as well,
which is what the Cowboys are doing with halves. The Knights are doing with props.
Like if you look at the Knights and you go, okay, yeah, Clem is pretty good. Daniel Saifidi's pretty good. His brother not so much. But you'd look at their stocks and you wouldn't say that props are an area that they're massively hurting for.
Mm.
Especially given the state of their entire back line, really.
Mm. And they don't forwards really have in any general. Sound.
Bradman Best is hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, because, and you're looking at, your Frizzles and so
Barnett
forth. Barnett well. Yeah,
all those guys.
Barnett, yep, yeah. So I wouldn't have thought the forwards would be an area that's the major problem. Obviously, halves is a problem for them. Mm. Bradman Best, he's got the hype, but, he's fucking injured a lot as well.
Mm.
Ponga's like the only person, Best and Ponga are maybe the only people that really would have their positions bedded down in that side no matter what. You would think. Mm. There's no other none of the other guys. You're not going to tell me that Stafford Toa fucking has locked his shit down to a
point. Connor Watson would have a place.
Fees Crossland's not, he's only there because everyone else is dead.
Yeah. Connor Watson would lock down a spot in the 17, but where, I don't know, but you'd have to have him in the 17. You wouldn't play him in Reggie's, but.
But it was only Sunday. When we were saying, why are they even trying to utilize him more, given the injuries?
Put him at 5'8".
So, like you say, he'd always have a spot in the 17. But it doesn't seem to have any fucking opportunity for advancement, no matter how many people in the halves get killed.
The other interesting thing is why the Knights are interested in a forward who is probably in the top three most poorly suited to the new rules and an interpretation of the rules in Matt Lodge. Mm.
Also a player that is like so on the nose with any fan base that has to tolerate his presence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Or is this just another one of those things where it's a vocal minority that thinks that Matt Lodge is a fucking cancer?
I
don't think it's a vocal
people say moment. Like people can say they'll cancel their membership and things like that, but at the end of the day, they've paid for their membership this year. If they're a membership paying type of person.
Yep.
And then they've got 6 months to forget what about Matt Lodge before the renewal comes around.
Yeah, true.
And they'll renew it because they love their fucking team, and they'll have 6 months to rationalise to themselves why they still support the team with Matt Lodge there.
Yes. Yeah. That's it.
But Pete, speaking about players poorly suited to the current rules, young Vic Radley, who listeners of this show will remember on his debut, I believe he debuted against Manly, and I remember he fucking hit Marty Tapau in the face with a shoulder charge, and it was like oh my God, you know, this young fucking, you know, big hitter. I'm like, hang on a minute. Absolute fucking dog shot at him, and he's getting celebrated like it's like, you know, he's like the fucking, you know, reincarnation of Steve Matai fucking, you know, something.
Yeah.
Anyway, his game hasn't changed since then, but the rules or the interpretation or the penalties given out to those sorts of tackles have increased in severity over the following, you know, 18 months or so.
Yeah.
And as a result, as we saw on the weekend, yeah, Radley ended up with four reports and two stints in the sin bin, immediately cementing himself as the current grubbiest player in the game, at least statistically under the rule set. And upon being suspended for five weeks, was it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Upon being suspended for 5 weeks, he actually said that, he said, look, I've had great defensive coaches, or, you know, great tackling coaches, you know, through my entire career. And, you know, he named guys like
Ron Gibbs.
Like, you know, Craig Fitz, John Hopewadi. fucking
the tackle, Boyd. The tackle on Albert Kelly on the weekend was fucking Ron Gibbs 101.
But he then went on to express that he had such great tackling technique. He was taught by the best, and as a result, he there's nothing to change, and he won't be changing the way he goes about his business. So, honestly, first player that's going to rub themselves out of the game just through being fucking recalcitrant. Yeah, uneducatable, fucking moron.
Yep.
So, good luck with that, Vic. You know,
if I'm the Roosters, if I'm the Roosters, I probably don't give a fuck because I got that much cash, and you know, the club is and team are my plaything. But what a fucking little prima donna he is!
Say that shit. You can say that shit to the boys.
Yeah,
go for it.
But can you imagine even how that would go down in the sheds?
Like, well, I mean, they got done 13 plus by the Broncos. You know, large part because they were down to 12 for the fucking quarter of the game.
Mm.
Yeah. And this is that thing. You know, I'm old enough to remember when the science around smoking became irrefutable.
Yes.
And you remember when they outlawed smoking inside?
Yeah.
Like, for a while up to that, there were those people who were, well, fuck you, I'm still going to smoke in my own house, even if I've got kids, because I can smoke in my fucking house.
Yep.
That's who fucking Radley is. Radley is the cunt who sits around the kitchen table blowing smoke in his fucking kids' faces because, well, fucking this is what I've always done, and no one's going to fucking tell me any different, and everything's going soft. Fucking soft.
Yeah. I want to give you a rap to Jay for your tweet about pubs going soft. Fucking absolute top three best things you've ever done. Fuck. I read it 10 times over the course of the day and it made me fucking laugh every time. Even now it's making me laugh one again. Thing.
I can't get my head around that. The game's going soft. Because we can't do things that fuck people's brains up irreparably, shorten their lifespan, or change their personalities.
And the NRL is in a fucking very fortunate position in the sense that the medicine around contact sports is far more advanced in other sports, in richer sports in America. And they're seeing the diagnoses far earlier and adding up ahead of the timetable of the NRLs. Mm-hmm. So they're actually a great fucking cautionary tale or role model to look at in terms of how, you know, what they're dealing with.
Like, real talk, John Howard has probably saved countless NRL players' lives.
Just by nature of having guns so unobtainable. Correct. To a casual person.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The fucking stupidity I hear at the moment around games gone soft, games gone soft, games gone soft. You got to let people make their own decisions, and they know what they're signing up for, and they know what they're
doing. It's fucking touch footy. Well, you know, it's touch footy. Fucking playing touch footy now.
Here's the thing. There are fucking laws that say when you get in a car, must put on a seatbelt.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Oh, people got to drive. How they got to drive? You'd be comfortable when you fucking drive. You can't tell me how to fucking drive. Cars have gone soft.
That voice, it's like the prototype fucking degenerate Westie voice.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you applied an American accent to that voice,
yeah,
you would be exactly the same cunts that don't want to wear fucking masks and or get vaccinated against COVID.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like it's that exact same mindset. You're just interchanging the fucking blocks of ignorance that are fucking they're railing against for the purpose of their freedom or because of what they've always done or whatever bullshit fucking dumb excuse they want to make.
The other thing I've had come up is that people say, "Oh, well, it's stupid and it won't do anything to stop to crack down on high shots because 70% of concussions are to defenders, right? 70% of concussions are to defenders." The other thing you got to remember here is that one of the reasons the NRL is doing this is for fucking legal liability in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a vast fucking difference in legal liability for things you do to yourself as opposed to things you have inflicted upon you by others.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fact of the matter is, for little bitch tits Radley, it has always been against the rules to contact the head.
Yep.
It has been against the rules to contact the head. That's it. And now they're increasing the penalty as an incentive to change behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So you dumb fuck, what you have done is say to the NRL, your incentive to change my behavior has not been successful. Please come up with stronger incentives so that my behavior will change.
Because my freedoms. And that's the thing. The amount of high shots he put on, I mean, 4 reportable offenses, 5 weeks is pretty fucking good. Yeah. I mean, that's on the kind of on the light side. Especially because he's a guy with form on the board, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
I mean, the NRL are doing players a favour by punishing them for 10 minutes on field rather than stacking up multipliers in weeks off afterward.
But here's the thing. If your tackling technique is leading you to do something that has always been against the rules,
mm-hmm.
it is not a good tackling technique.
You didn't learn from the best.
Yeah. Now,
and I'm sure they don't want to fucking be nominated as the people that taught you how to tackle in such a way that is in violation of the rules most of the time you do it.
Now, if the NRL came out and went, you know, AFL style, you're not allowed to tackle beneath the waist. You know, we're getting too many knee and ankle injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So we're now going to outlaw the legs tackle. Then he would have grounds to say, I've learned this tackling technique since I was a boy and they can't expect me to change it overnight.
Yeah.
But the other thing I think that they really need to do is some outside the box stuff. For example, with bootlace tackles, they need to start rewarding them.
Yeah.
If you don't want people to go in high, then have a couple
reward
of calls.
Low. Yeah.
Have dominant tackle,
mm-hmm.
but then also have, you know, technical tackle or something. If somebody wraps somebody's fucking legs up,
yep.
reward that shit.
Yep.
You know, it's all about incentivizing behavior. It's not fucking hard.
And when is technique, when did technique change? Like you say, I understand that the game went away from legs tackles because the play the ball speed, you know, guys can get up.
And also wrapping up offloads,
But when did the tackling around the ball or hitting around the ball with your shoulder, when did that go from there to, okay, let's get my shoulder around a guy's chin or into his head or that never actually happened. A tackle with your shoulder around the ball or, you know, a body-on-body contact with arms wrapping up the ball is probably the more preferred method of defense in today's game. Not shoulder first to the head or swinging arms to the head and neck, you know.
Yeah.
It's just not. That's not how the game's played.
Mm.
So he plays with, you know, I think he's trying to cover up the fact that his biggest strength to him is his aggression and the fact that he goes onto the field with an element of reckless abandon. And it was okay because he could lose control of that and the team would be like, oh, look at him, you know, he's inspiring us. Well, it's not that inspiring when you're knocking cunts out or spending 20 minutes in a sin bin in a single game and getting reported four times, followed by a 5 week, which, as you say, Nate, is I was expecting 6 or 8 as a combined sum total of the four charges. So, I think he's, you know, I think there's a fair bit of deflection there. And it'll be interesting to see how he changes his tune because, as we've alluded to earlier, the game is passing certain players by. And Volandis is doubling down. I don't see it changing. I see it as certainly the head and neck contact. I see that continuing and the level of enforcement continuing. And the game is going to pass certain players in every club. Some clubs less than others, but in every club is going to be a player here and there that the game is going to pass by this season. And guys that are, you know, still probably thought they had many, many years left in the game are going to be out of a fucking job.
Yeah, spot on.
Let's get into some previews for the upcoming round 12 of the 2021 NRL season. Thursday night's game, the Broncos take on the Storm at Suncorp Stadium. The Broncos side, Matt Lodge is suspended, so Kennedy moves into the front row starting. TC Rabadi comes onto the bench. Tyson Gamble also suspended, so that allows for Anthony Milford to return into halves and Herbie Farnworth back at centre. Dale Copley drops out the Storm side. Hughes returns at half. Johns drops back to the reserves. Chris Lewis remains in the six. And no Pappy at this stage, with Nicho Hynes still remaining in the one.
Mm.
Now, look, let's be real. Great win for the Broncos last week. Melbourne Storm, also extremely good win, especially considering the troops that they had out. Now they've got one of those back. A key one. How much are the Melbourne Storm going to pound the Broncos by? Or do the Broncos continue on their brief upward tick that, you know, the general, you know, energy, consistent performance, you know, getting some forward domination and acting upon it? Can they even achieve that ascendancy against the Storm in the first place?
No.
I wouldn't think so.
How much of an impact is Albert Kelly? You know, like, what is the real impact of Albert Kelly in the Broncos side? I don't expect him being there to win the game for the Broncos, don't get me wrong, but they looked a far different side with him in control last week. There were elements in that game, as we spoke about with the Radley stuff, etc., that certainly worked in the Broncos' favour, but there was a lot more control. The kicking game was more precise. and they look to have a lot more direction. I just, you know, this is week two of the Albert Kelly era, the Broncos, I guess you could call it. But I think the Storm, you know, nullify that. I think they play with a bit too much control, and I don't know that the Broncos have the consistency to put two performances like that together in a row.
Yeah. The Storm play the game at another level.
Mm.
And also the Albert Kelly era that you mentioned happened to coincide with the Roosters, everyone is injured and play for 12 men for 75% of the game era.
Yeah.
And sure. So it's hard to see where the coral, you know, what the root cause of the Broncos having so much energy late in the game to seal it.
Yeah.
Where like that could have possibly come from.
The Nazis looked really fucking good against the Russians when they had guns and the other cunts had pitchforks.
Exactly.
Storm by 1,000.
So I think we're agreed that Storm... The Friday pub slot game, the North Queensland Cowboys take on the Warriors up there at the abattoir in North Queensland. Taumalolo suspended. Jason Taumalolo suspended. He's replaced by Cohen Hess returning from injury. Lemuelu is out injured. So the Hammer returns. Tabuai Fido and Peter Hollow and Corey Jensen are back in the team. Lachlan Burr suspended. And murderous Frank Molo failed his HIA, so he's out as well. The Warriors. Fucking Frank Molo. And like that's that fucking guy that replied that you were replying to the other night on Twitter talking about the pubs and shit that Glenn was referring to earlier. Like it's like he's replied and he's called you a fuckwit and said no one's ever fucking died from a high tackle or something.
No, big hits have never been associated with death.
Exhibit A, fucking murderous Frank Molo on the who killed the guy, and he didn't kill the guy in the fucking park or anything either. I mean, it was in the fucking Q Cuff. Like, Jesus Christ.
You don't get the nickname murderous Frank Molo if, you know, big hits don't cause death. That shit's not doled out just willy-nilly.
You don't get that name because you're fucking, you're super into fucking cross-stitch. I mean, the Warriors side, okay, unchanged from the last round. Rocco Berry listed on the reserves. Look, this is one of those games that's like I think is moderately hard to pick, to be honest. I mean, the Cowboys still exceeding expectations.
Cowboys are. They're playing at home.
Mm.
But JT's a big out and Cohen Hess is a bad in. Is that the most lopsided out and in the history of rugby league?
Yeah. I don't know history, but I mean, it's certainly like, if you're talking like top of mind sort of stuff, it is pretty ordinary. I guess the other example you could say is Tom Dvojevic out for anybody else. At fullback, I mean that's the same sort of differential as well, you know. Like let's use the most recent example, Dylan Walker. I mean,
Cohen Hess for JT still worse.
Yeah,
still worse.
Yeah, sucks to be Cowboys. But I'm you know their uptick had begun before Taumalolo came back from the multiple broken hands and everything that he was carrying on with. So
asterisk feelings.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a feeling about the Cowboys. Yep.
Just for the athleticism and the size of their outside backs. You know, the Cowboys have Kyle Felt, mm-hmm. who is playing in some... He's in a little bit of a purple patch at the moment.
It's Felt almost like, when has he not been, though? He always seems to be the best player at the Cowboys, even when they've had, you know, Morgan on fire or, you know, Jonathan Thurston on fire.
But I just think the athleticism of the outside backs of the Warriors is enough to get them home. They've just got more points in them than the Cowboys do.
Yep.
I was impressed with the Warriors last week. I think they'll ask too many questions of the Cowboys and Reece Walsh to have another big game.
Yeah. I think Reece Walsh is going to become one of your new boys, hey Glenn?
Think he's a fantastic player.
Old listeners, you know, the way you used to talk about Sonny Bill. What a shame you weren't back last year so you couldn't have your little fucking, you know, coda to your love affair with Sonny Bill just when he played his little cameo. What a missed opportunity that was.
So what are you doing? Just, Are you secretly like applying eyeliner to Jax before he gets up to go training?
No, there's no eyeliner being applied to my children. Thank you for asking. I think Rhys Walsh is a great player. He's got immense talent, and it's interesting to watch him develop, but there's no man crush there, mate. Big difference.
You know what? Right. Don't fucking say that. Have you seen how much money the fucking Weeknd makes? Have you seen the car that the Weeknd's dad drives?
No.
If I was you, I'd be in his room, not only with the fucking eyeliner, but with the fake eyelashes and the eyelash crimper.
I'll call him the public holiday or something like that and set him on his way.
The sickie.
The Aussies thing, the smoko or something.
I was going to say Leo will be the smoko because that's about his attention span.
The second pub slot game.
Off, cunt. You can't have a second pub slot game just because it's the Tigers.
I'm trying to think of the equivalent of, like, you know, the clothes maketh the man, or, you know, the game maketh the slot.
The teams maketh the name of the slot.
US Tigers, your pub slot. I mean, this is how it goes. Now, they're playing at Wankbest. The West Tigers side, James Roberts returns on the wing.
Yay.
Talau moves to the centres. Joey Leilua out. And Tom Amoney replaces Jake Simkin. What happened? What's going on with your boy?
Which one? Jakey?
Simkin. Like Manamana, blah, blah, whatever his fucking name. What was that guy's name? Manaya Rudolph.
Fucking. Manaya Rudolph.
Like fucking.
Manaya Charrington.
Charrington. Like all these next best hookers in the history of the West Tigers. Like,
Nathan, Simkin, you know full again, well, what was the common denominator to all those hookers that have come and gone through the Tigers? What was the common denominator?
So are you saying that Jake Simkin is out of the side? Yeah, they played for the Tigers. That was the common denominator. But
what's the other common denominator?
Okay, so what you're implying is that Jake Simkin has dropped because Robbie Farah is running the water now.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
In all honesty, I think the knock on him is that in comparison to Little, his service out of dummy half isn't as consistent. And I will say that Little has him as far as pace goes, but Simkin's.
So what are they trying to do? Are they trying to be like an NFL team where they have like the punter that just does one thing awesomely but can't do anything else that anyone on the team can do? What the hell? Are they just going
to... Yeah.
What are they
honestly,
gonna just fake?
I think the Tigers in their own... And no one would ever admit this. Bear with me here because this is a stretch. Just stick with me.
Is this going to use the word revolutionise? I can feel a revolutionise coming.
I think that the Tigers have convinced themselves that Jacob Little is Damien Cook. Okay? That's what they think. They're wrong. They're fucking wrong. But that's what they think. Because he's fast. Fast. He doesn't have the vision of Jake Simkin, who is 19 years of age, but he's fast. So there you go. Damien Cook it is.
So what? Right. So Madge's got Little out at 5:30 in the morning running sandhills and crying.
Maybe. I'm not going to say it's not happening.
Oh, God.
Okay, so anyway, the Dragon side, they have Tarek Sims replaces Kerr in the pack. Kerr suspended, of course. Paul Vaughan starts up front and Farmer Sealy goes to the bench. Daniel Alvaro fills the vacant bench spot. Tigers, I mean, this is their best chance to win in weeks, right?
Yeah.
Since we last played the Dragons. Yes, correct. Look.
The game that changed it all for you.
When you... or kept everything the same. But when you're down on confidence, sometimes you need to just drop it back a bit. and play against people that aren't on your level as professionals, as athletes, as rugby league participants. And that's what the Tigers will be doing in this game, playing the St. George Illawarra Dragons, who really shouldn't even be in the NRL. They're not of NRL standard. And the Tigers will beat up on them, just like they did last time they played, and extract the necessary amount of confidence to go into next week thinking that they just need to turn up to wing and get blasted. And that's how things will roll.
Can't argue with that. Tigers.
Look, I favour the Tigers in this game, I'll be honest, but at the same time, everything I just heard then makes me believe they're going to lose badly, honestly.
It's a big occasion. It is a big occasion. They'll be playing in their Indigenous jerseys, which is obviously for guys like Dane Laurie and James Roberts, very passionate Indigenous gentlemen. So, you know, there's an occasion
would
there.
Would you say if you were quantifying their passion, would you say it is more or less passion than they would feel for the legacy of Tommy Raudonikis?
Probably the same, which may lead to the same result.
Can I also point out that calling people Indigenous gentlemen is about the whitest way to describe those guys?
Have you seen me? Have you seen me with my clothes off? I'm fucking white. Can't hide from it.
Yeah.
Right. Panthers taking the Doggies Saturday afternoon. Down there, I still forget what the fuck we... What are we calling the Panther Stadium again?
The Glory Hole.
Blue Bulls.
The Glory Hole, that's it.
Oh, the Glory Hole, that's right.
The Glory Hole. Yeah. Okay, so Capewell suspended. So, you know, not a lot. So it's not the Glory Hole this week, I guess. Capewell suspended. He's the only change. Leota returns in his place at prop with Martin back to the second row, the Dogs side. Hetherington is back from suspension.
For now.
And to begin his bid to become the most suspendable player in the competition, Vic Radley has thrown the fucking gauntlet down and challenged into a duel. And well, so there's a very good chance that Jack Hetherington may be off the field for up to 30 minutes.
The only reason that Hetherington is not already the most penalised player under the new interpretations is because he was suspended from when the rules were soft as shit. Kudos to Penrith for being that fucking good that they're actually making this game somewhat interesting. As in, people are tuning in, like, actually wondering, like, are we going to see a 70 burger?
Yeah, and let's face it, you know, when we're talking about our multis and things like that, I mean, this one has great potential.
Well, considering now that we all have a Bet With Mates group.
That's it. We got 15 bucks in there burning a hole in our account.
Yeah.
And so let's...
Tell you what, you need to check the app more often.
Oh, really? What did you do? What did you do to my $5?
I put it to work. It's work in the system.
Oh, what did you bet on? Did you put it on this game?
Hang on, I think it was Melbourne 13 plus, Penrith 13 plus, Crichton anytime, and To'o anytime.
I'd check, but I'm not allowed to bring my phone close to the microphone or the computer.
Yeah, good.
Or bet at all.
You are the handbrake in this scenario, and you'll never be forgotten.
It's probably a good time.
Dogged us by making us bet on fucking, was it Charlie Staines instead of Toe? I can't remember.
Yeah, I picked Charlie
Staines.
That's
irrelevant. It's the cunt that was outside Momorovsky.
Subscribe now to the Glenbet app and choose our new feature, Bet With Cunts.
So, Hetherington's back at prop for the Doggies. Josh Jackson at lock is back. Adam Elliott moves to second row. Chris Smith's out suspended. What else have we got in here? Katoa's suspended. Ava Siamanafunai drops to the bench. Look, it's not a matter of if or who. It's a matter of by how much. The really interesting stories, I think, coming out of this game is, will someone, and I'm looking directly in the direction of Matt Burton or Brian To'o, will they match or exceed the 6 tries that the Fox scored earlier this year?
Yes. All signs point to yes.
Yeah. Will the Doggies cause the most epic boil over that we've seen probably in the history of the game?
No. All signs point to no.
What is the realistic margin of victory that you think, that if like gun to your head?
If it's under 40, I'll be disappointed.
Yep. I'd agree.
Oh, sorry, if they don't put 40 points on, I'll be disappointed.
They put 40 points on good teams, so I mean, I think that this has to be a 50, right?
I reckon they'll have 50 with about 20 to go. And then...
Yeah.
And you'll be like, this could be fucking anything, and that they'll kick it back a gear.
Remember, as well, it's a Trent revenge game too. Or more as I like to see it, a Penrith, let's show Trent how fucking terrible he is and how much of a non-factor he was in his time here.
This is a Burton retention game. That's what this is.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, you know, the funny thing, you know who our new offensive coach is?
You?
Who?
You're offensive?
It's the cunt that the West Tigers used to have running their defense. So obviously great judges of talent over there at the West Tigers in identifying people's best skill sets. They had the guy who is the architect of the greatest offense the competition has ever seen trying to teach Noffa how to tackle.
But, you know, there are some tasks, some burdens on humanity that are unsolvable problems. I mean, yeah, Israel versus Palestine. David Noffa looms defense.
Versus defensive shapes.
You know, but that's it. That's the two most unsolvable fucking things. You know.
Yeah. Their previous defensive coach was like, fuck this. I'm actually going to go and raise my kids in Gaza.
Right. The Rabbits take on the Eels. Stadium Australia, Saturday afternoon. The Rabbits side, Cam Murray and Jacob Host are back in the side. Liam Knight and Jaden Sewer dropped to the reserves. Mansour failed his HIA. He's out. So Tane Mill replaces him on the wing. Jai Arrow gets the nod at prop with Burgess benched. And Selle replaces Jed Cartwright on the interchange. The Parramatta Eels side, Regan Campbell, Gillard suspended. So that brings Oregon Kafusi into the eight to start. Martin Nicore returns to take his place on the bench. And the Rabbitohs will be super pleased to hear that Wanga Blake will be taking his place on the left-hand side of their offense.
Or as he's known, Tall Noffa.
Inside Noffa. Could you imagine those two lined up, yeah, next to each other on the same side?
Fucking hell. I think Stephen Hawking wrote a book about that once.
Yeah. Now, the Rabbitohs. I feel like they are the team that they were shown to be by the Panthers and the Storm before them. However... Parramatta, I also maintained, were vastly overrated and then weren't shit, and you know, thus was proven last week.
Who is the fraudiest fraud, Nath?
Well, this is it. I think the Rabbitohs, whilst I don't rate their chances of winning the competition or competing against, you know, the top, you know, two or three teams in the competition, and I'm talking the top two or three teams on talent, not the top two or three teams on current ladder position, because I think Parramatta's still up there as well, aren't they? Look, they're both hurting. They both took massive defeats last week. They both took massive blows to their pride. Wayne seems to have held some guys and found some scapegoats and held some guys accountable. Plus he gets Cam Murray back into the side.
Which again, Cam Murray's not stopping 56 points on his own. But just his influence in defence and instructions.
Yeah, yeah, and like
massive
in
for the Rabbits.
Yeah, and maybe he stops it becoming 16-0 after fucking 15 minutes.
Yeah,
which is the precursor towards throwing your toys out of the cot and conceding 50.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, overall. The Eels, on the other hand, they haven't held Arthur hasn't held Wanga Blake responsible for anything at all. He hasn't held Blake Ferguson responsible for anything at all. He hasn't put any responsibility on the shoulders of any of their forwards that failed to do anything, fire a shot. So all in all, he hasn't, yeah.
You know what I love? I love that according to the official NRL app,
mm-hmm.
these two teams have only played each other 34 times.
Is that because South's history prior to being kicked out doesn't exist?
Correct.
Well, like actually, well, yeah, I believe that too.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm, well done.
Same reason. Yeah, same reason the Dragons have only won one premiership.
That's it. look, I'm going to tip the Rabbits here. Just, I have more faith in Wayne Bennett and that team. Fuck, they need to be hurting. Mm. They need to be so embarrassed that mm-hmm. this is a statement game. And this could realistically make or break their season.
Yeah.
In terms of if they can bounce back from last week's shellacking, then there's a rebuild there, and they can
begin the narrative of their coming back narrative. You know, like turning the corner narrative. Yeah. Yeah.
And if anybody can prep teams at the right time, it's Wayne Bennett.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other more minor storyline as well is that, you know, there are reports this week that, you know, Brad Fittler's throwing the gauntlet down for Damien Cook to perform, you know, if he wants to retain his Origin jersey. Latrell Mitchell will want to break his way into Origin as well. So there's a couple of players there that will want to perform.
Did Fittler specifically mention Jacob Little as a potential replacement for Damien Cook? Or is that just Maguire's fantasies?
Well, based on form at the moment, are you picking Cook or are you picking Uppy?
Look, I'm probably picking Cook, I'd have to say. I got nothing against Appy, but I don't think Cook's going terrible either. He's not the problem at the Rabbits.
No,
he's not
the problem.
Yeah.
So.
I definitely think South will win.
Yep. Okay. The Roosters take on the Raiders Saturday night at Central Coast Stadium. The Roosters side. Okay. Here we go. Victor Radley suspended, so he's gone. Angus Crichton, he's also suspended, right?
Yes.
And he's gonna is he out for Origin? I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
So Isaac Liu replaces Radley at lock. SST comes into the side at prop for Liu. So Luke Fifita joins the interchange. Josh Morris is back, and Suali drops back into the extended reserve bench. Now that's with Crichton still in the side on Tuesday afternoon. So I would expect that Suali might find his way back in there. Right?
Makes sense. Yeah.
So, the Raiders side, okay. Whiten and Hodgson return from suspension. Rappin are back from injury. George Williams, with his shock departure, means that Sam Williams is their halfback now. And Rappin's wing spot is replacing Semi Valame, who drops the New South Wales Cup. Soliola replaces Hudson Young. Hodgson replaces Brad Schneider, who goes back into the extended reserves. Fuck me, both of these sides are absolutely... The Roosters.
I back the Roosters
You want to talk about 17 guys that are hurting?
Mm.
It's not the Raiders.
This one I think is a test of Robbo's coaching. And, you know, Nate, you and I were in a DM with a guy that was going on about what a fraud he thinks Robbo is the other day.
Yeah.
And this is at the stage where, as well, if your system's that good, oh, hang on, Angus Crichton's been named. If your system is really that good, slot them in. Slot them in and keep going. And I think for a large part of it, the Roosters had done that. They were punching above their weight.
Mm. To the point where it was like almost like, you know, they sort of made believers out of us. And then this Broncos result came up and was a massive aberration.
That was also due to one player having a disproportionate effect on the fortunes of the team and the game as a whole.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, again, who do you rate better to prepare their team and tell me that Robbo's not using that as a motivation. Everyone thinks you're the underdog. No one thinks you can win. Everyone says we're shot.
Yeah, no, I think the Roosters have got a better coach. I think the Roosters have a better preparation. The Raiders, again, performing exceptionally well in very small portions of matches. Like, I mean, they had the Storm for the first 30 minutes of that game, and the Storm had fucking nothing. Like, it was looking great for the Raiders. But man, when they fold, they fold harder than any team in the competition.
But again, to your point about Trent Barrett coach sides,
yes,
the Raiders got that amazing but fluky try off the first set of the game.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's true too.
Did they realistically grind or earn or work themselves into a position of dominance in that game?
Look, that first try was arsey as hell. Like, I will concede that. But I mean, I think that they still then, you know, they got another one and they controlled the game, you know, pretty well.
Yep.
Until they didn't, which was, you know, and it had all turned around in that 10 minutes before halftime, and the Storm went into the break up by two. So
I backed the Roosters playing group.
I've got no faith in the Raiders for 80 minutes.
I backed the Roosters playing group.
I've got no faith in the Raiders over 80 minutes.
Sorry.
Yes, because this game has a second half, I will tip the Roosters.
Yeah, I was going to say... You
know, it's too early in the... Philandys has been mooting half a game only format, but they'll not try that out tonight, on Saturday night.
Yeah, just to follow on from your point about the respective coaches and their ability to motivate, I think it comes down to the actual the playing group themselves and taking ownership of a poor performance. And I think the Raiders have had several poor performances and are yet to really truly take ownership as a playing group away from Ricky. I think that comes down to the level of professionalism that the Roosters have far more of, and I think I'll back them to turn it around far more convincingly than the Raiders.
And at what stage do the Raiders look at it and go, fuck, maybe we're the problem, or maybe our culture's the problem, when we keep buying all these English cunts and they keep wanting to leave? Like, what is it? Is Ricky Stewart putting the Gold Coast on his recruitment brochure? Like, you've seen Australia come play footy here, and they turn up to Canberra.
How does an Englishman move from England to the place in Australia that is most like England and get homesick?
Look, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, like, he's knocked his missus up while he's down here, and, you know, times like that, you want to be around family and everything. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
I do get it. And, like, there's so much murkiness around what the fuck's actually happened here. I mean, he's asked for a release for the end of the year. The Raiders have been, like, you know, either accidentally or deliberately taking that as get fuck out of here right now. And then, you know, and the media are playing games with that, and the players are fighting back via social media as well. So I don't know if we've heard the final, you know, portion of that saga, you know, how it's all played out yet. But
yeah, that's it.
But look, like I get it. You know, if you're having a kid, you know, you want to be around family. It's a long way away, and COVID makes everything feel more isolated as well, because you know, by and large, you can't freely move around, you know, internationally. So, like, I get it. But yeah, this, you know, but also get the club too. I mean, like, you know, I get the club can feel a certain way about that as well.
Yeah. Yep.
Because, I mean, halfback is not, you know, it's one of the few specialised, you know, super specialised positions in. You can't just fucking, you know, it's not like he's a back rower and you can shuffle guys around. You know,
even Bateman hurt them, and he was a back rower.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Roosters to win that one. Okay, the Sharkies take on the Titans.
Who cares? Next game. Seriously, has there been a more fucking nothing matchup this year?
Yeah, so the Herodi Dugan and Tig Wilton are all suspended, so they missed this game. I should say, I was looking up while you're talking. I was looking, Crichton is suspended too, so he won't be taking part in that game, the Roosters game. Mulitalo, the Moot, returns. to the wing. Talakai is back to replace Wilton on the bench. Ramian returns for Dugan in the centres. And Chad Townsend is in 18. And Johnson returns in the halves. Fifita onto the interchange, replacing Magulius. The Titans. David Fifita returns in second row. Bo Firmo moves to the bench. Sam Stone out of the squad. Patrick Herbert returns to the back line. Sam Masters back to the reserves. And Ash Taylor's named on the extended bench in number 21.
Titans.
So.
Yeah.
Titans are travelling okay. Like, they're travelling okay with Tanner Boyd and Fogarty. Mm.
Yep.
Fifita's a big in.
Yeah, probably much to the big, huge in.
I think they'll be too strong on the edges. And as you say, Tanner Boyd is looking really sharp. And I think him coming off the back of Fifita and Tino on the edges, I don't think the Sharks will have enough to stop that.
Yeah. Look, the Sharks are in full tank mode. This is actually the first week where I think it's a, yeah, it's kind of a positive change for them, dropping Chad Townsend. Yeah. I think it's actually it's the first sort of positive move that Hannay's made. I mean, because it's just seemed like they've just stumbled from week to week since the sacking of Morris, yes, with no real care of what fucking happens, just because, you know, it's kind of a weird sort of in between a year now that they've already organised their coach for next year and so on. So, still Titans. The Knights take on the mighty Manly Sea Eagles up in Newcastle. The Newcastle side, Ponga returns and Bradman Best returns. So Mann returns to 5'8". Phoenix Crossland shifts to halfback. Blake Green out due to retirement. And Sasagi drops to the bench given Bradman Best return. Manly side, Curtis Sirenin back from injury, so he's aimed on the bench. Lawton will start in the second row with Guacamole out with, I believe, a broken hand. I believe. I mean, it's hard to fucking know with the butcher on our medical staff. Yeah, look, I think the Knights are slipping. And yeah. Ponga's a good in for them, but only in attack. Like, I expect Callum Ponga to... I think it'll probably take him a while to get himself, you know, super involved. And it'll probably take him down to a, you know, a deficit to get super involved in the in the attack, because I don't see their halves really providing a hell of a lot for them. And I think Ponga has to get involved. In defence, though, I mean, it's the same old, same old. I mean, I can't see Callum Ponga having any effect if Daly wants to put a bomb up for Jason Saab, for example.
Yeah, that's true.
If Daly wants to put a bomb up to, you know, come down in front of the posts, I can't see Ponga really wanting to contest that, you know, against Tommy or someone bearing down on him. And I mean, we've seen that battle, we've seen that direct matchup happen in Origin, and just, you know, Ponga was just thoroughly, you know, humiliated. So, look, I expect the guys, unless, you know, the media is pretty quiet at the moment. I mean, there hasn't been too much pumping up the Tigers. So I think if they just, you know, if they just keep their heads, I think they've got these guys covered. The forwards who were unheralded have all started stepping up. I fucking love Sean Kepi. He's going great guns. Some of the big boys, like, you know, Sipley is going great as well. Marty Tapau is playing the best he's played in a long time. And really, the only place I really think that the Knights can even compete, even on their day, is through the forwards.
Yeah.
And it's just hard for a team to come out, you know, against, you know, with no halves and compete. And if Ponga is going to stay back there at fullback and not inject himself into and try and take an active role in running things, I don't see them, you know, generating a fuck of a lot on the attacking side of the ball.
So we've just taken a long time to say Manly 13 plus.
Agreed.
I want to put some rationale behind it. Do you say 30 plus? Because I'm feeling it.
Okay. Put it in the sports bet with mates app.
You've thrown all out. You've thrown all our money on your other one, haven't you?
No, not yet.
Oh, yeah. not yet. And is there like an audit trail of, you know, this fucking guy put this much on
sports bet?
Yes.
This guy pissed bet this with much mates. Away on
just
this
don't bit. Let them bet.
Before I got involved, I needed to make sure that Glenn had some absolute accountability.
Gotcha.
Well, this app now does. Yeah, like with that, you know, situation we had earlier in the season where we would have made, I believe it was, you know, in the vicinity of $600,000 to $700,000.
Yes.
Had we picked Brian Toto instead of whatever fucking donkey that Glenn nominated for our multi.
Those years of financial experience, and that's the number you come up with from that. Fuck me, dude. Love it.
Yeah, do you not know how boosts work?
All right, time to hit the mailbag, folks. And I don't have the mailbag fucking open in front of me, so you'll have to deal with my profuse apologies as I quickly go down to our Facebook group and check out what we've got there. And we did have a good mailbag coming through this week, so here we go. Right, fuck me, it's a bumper crop of mailbag. Jordan says, with Victor Radley and Angus Crichton getting hit with lengthy suspensions, how long do you think it will be until the Chickens kick up a large enough stink that the NRL will do a 180 on the crackdown? My feeling is that a Roosters-led bitch session about the rules won't have any effect.
Correct.
Yeah, I agree.
And I mean, because even Trent, I mean, I've seen people on social media saying, oh, yeah, Trent's complaining this and that. But I mean, when I saw him sitting down on one of those shows, I only saw his segment from the show on Twitter or something. And he seemed fairly philosophical about the requirements, you know, the need for the change and the benefits of the change and sort of thing.
Everything the Roosters do is pretty firmly calculated. And so if he's on anywhere, then half of it's directed at him standing up for his players, for him standing up for the club, and also, you know, the unspoken by way of saying, you know, no excuses, all that stuff that, okay, we've got to get in line with these new rules.
So, yeah. Okay, Michael says, Nathan J and the work experience bloke. Do you think the league should scrap development fees? This is very, very... specific to his, one of his occupations as an agent. Do you think the league should scrap development fees? They do not prevent clubs from poaching players, and it just lines the pockets of mass developers like the Panthers and the Broncos. For background, development fees are payable to clubs who've developed a player for at least 2 years, and that player leaves to another club before the age of 23. The current fees are 20% of the playing fee to a maximum of $50,000. For NRL contracts and 12.5K for development contracts.
Yeah, good on them.
Again, yeah, that's
about incentives to encourage behaviour.
Yeah, what I would like to hear, I'd like to hear from Michael more about why he thinks they should be scrapped, if that's the angle he's taking, because, I mean, it sounds fine to me.
Yeah.
I assume it's because not all junior networks are created equally.
Oh, yeah. And we know clubs like
Brisbane have a monopoly on one city.
Yep.
And clubs like Penrith are fucking awesome at it. So for two very different reasons, they get a lot of money out of it. Go and focus on it.
What if they get a lot of money out of it?
Correct. A lot of people rag on Gus, you know, 5-year plan, whatever, with Penrith talking about the first grade team. But the majority of the work he did there was in their juniors.
Mm.
And making sure that for the next however long that they have a certain talent level that will be grown at home, that they will have it at a reduced rate for X amount of years before they become superstars and start to get poached. But if you get rid of them before 23, why not get something in return for it?
Yeah, I have a mate that's heavily involved in the corporate level with the Panthers Leagues Club. And he says, like, Gus being Gus, he develops a lot of naysayers towards him because of his profile and his personality. But as he just sort of mentioned, the stuff he did behind the scenes for that club from a grassroots level all the way up to, and in large part including the NRL side, but more specifically everything leading up to that. He's never got the credit he was due for it.
No, he hasn't.
But yeah, I think you get the same. No, true. But I think
Gus. Fucking course he is.
Stop. Yeah, I think that
like the slyest credit merchant of all. Like, I mean, he wants the credit, but he doesn't want to put himself in the position where he's, you know, where he can get any of the.
Want the credit. He wants to put himself so he can be in a holier than now position, and say, I don't really care about not getting the credit.
Alexander says, is it possible for commentators to get CTE? I think Vossi is starting to show early symptoms. I don't have an opinion on commentators. I mean, it's long, you know. I have the volume down. Yeah, I have the volume down for most of the time and watch games without the commentary, you know, except for the Manly sort of games. But an observation I have made, though, is that, wow, people have turned on Vossi over the last 12 months.
Yeah.
I remember when he was the man. And in many cases was the only palatable option as a commentator that people would accept.
Do you remember the blow up over the statue, which is basically what led to him sort of being shunted from
his demise at
Channel 9, right? But a lot of people siding with Vossi were like, well, you know, they should, you know, he's the guy that should take over from Rabs. You know, like they've made this massive mistake, and he's the next one in line. And I guess he probably was, and in large part. May still be, but I think he's probably gone a bit too far from just strictly commentary. I think he tries to put a bit too much of him and his personality into his call.
Too many of the catchphrases.
I think he's, you know, can polarise people. So
I don't love any of them. I mean, but there are ones that I really fucking dislike.
I find Blocker and Braith and Asta difficult to cop.
I think that I find very few of the colour guys really that palatable.
Mm.
I mean, they tend to say, you know, predominantly ultra dumb shit.
Yeah.
With the exception, perhaps, of Cooper Cronk.
Yeah, he's a shining light for me. I think he's.
But yeah. I don't love any of the guys who, you know, the actual play-by-play guys.
No.
But there are a couple that I fucking hate more than others.
Yeah.
And Ganain is one of the ones, you know, fairly high up that fucking list of ones I dislike. Right. Let's see. Okay, we've done that one in the show already. Okay, here we go on the Matt Lodge situation from Isaac. Long-time listener too. He said, I've sent my email threatening to not buy Knights membership, etc., but I know that's just pissing in the wind. I hate Lodge, but not enough to stop me being a Knights/footy fan. So here's some mental gymnastics I've had to use to stop me hating myself for supporting the Knights. So Lodge owes the family about $1 million, which he can't earn doing any old job. The only access he and by extension the family have to that kind of money is by him playing footy. The Knights would be helping compensate that poor family.
Congratulations. You're exactly as smart as a fucking Broncos fan. Because that's exactly the logic train they used to justify him the first time round. So so what you've done is just essentially become a Broncos fan. Please buy a Broncos jersey and start voting for Bob Catter.
Martin says, they don't have the talent, but this week against the Panthers is really the only chance for Doggies to achieve anything at all this season. # Saturday ambush.
Jesus. No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
No.
But if it is, as I was saying to someone in Magic Round when the Doggies were up against Canberra and, you know, it was apparent that I was hoping the Doggies would go on with it and win, I've got my agendas against Trent Barrett as a coach, but I've got my agendas against literally fucking everything, and I can create a win for myself out of any scenario. Yeah. So if they do win, I'll find a way to, A, downplay Trent's involvement, and B, you know, enjoy whatever upside there may be.
That's it.
Oh, he's Glenn's mate, Kyle. I really hope Manly don't win this week. Nate starving his brain of oxygen as he rattles off a 10-minute recap without a single breath of air cannot be healthy. # health is wealth.
I agree. I really hope Manly don't win this week as well.
That's not see. That's a fucking terrible thing to say. And I thought you were a mate.
Don't you want to see me happy? Fuck you and fuck
me. What nobody realizes is that everyone thinks I do the DC impersonations. Nate doing Manly reviews. Yeah, but see, Nate doing Manly reviews, he's actually doing them all in the voice of DCE, which is why it's one big breath in and then just talk without pausing.
Like an ornament to the game. He's realistically... I can be the new Prez.
Yeah. Like, he's behaving like Mrs. Cherry Evans, who obviously put Ricky Stewart reading books on tape via headphone on her stomach during pregnancy.
Winston says, "Hey lads, and the motor vehicle offender."
Wow.
"More a comment than a question to do with the new laws related to head collisions. My dad played Reggie's way back in the day. He worked in the bank at the same time, so he had lots of players and coaches, etc., go to him for loans and such. In 1978, he met Tommy Radonikis about financing the buy of a pub. During the chat, Tommy had to keep pausing where he would squeeze his eyes shut in concentration for 5 seconds before talking again. To Dad, it was obvious he was already suffering the effects of head collisions, and that was while he was still playing. For me, it shows the rule changes are better for the players, even if a lot of them do not know it. Dad said in retrospect, it was obvious at the time that all he thought was that Tommy had one too many or the Dragons in the 60s stayed involved in all the Dragons in the 60s stayed involved in rugby league. So, yeah, I don't think Tommy's gone to a bank meeting following one too many.
No.
It's just maybe.
You didn't spend much time in Campbelltown, did you, Nate?
I'm going to be perfectly honest.
Are you familiar with the term breakfast beers?
I've not set foot in fucking Campbelltown in my life, not one time.
We need to do a documentary, like Our Last Struggle Street, where we take you down there.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't fucking relate. Because from 2 weeks before I started year one at school until the time when I moved overseas, I mean I lived at Ascot, and prison people know where that is, and it's the most un-Campbelltownist place in Brisbane. Most
that
probably.
Is correct.
Jai. It's gone quiet, but there was plenty of talk about the whole conference system idea. I'm open to the idea, but for fuck's sake, are they going to fix the issues with the draw at least? There's plenty of variables, so it makes sense that there's times you would play a team twice before playing everyone else once, but it's ridiculous how much it happens. For example, after this weekend, there'll be three teams the Broncos have played twice, the Storm, Eels, and Titans, but there's still six teams they haven't played once. How does that even happen? Also, is this just my OCD kicking in, or does it annoy other people?
I agree.
It annoys me.
You agree with that comment?
Sorry, I agree with the that the conference system has merit as an idea. The fact that the Tigers are about to rack up their fourth win because they've played the Dragons and the Knights twice in the first 12 weeks or so, I'm okay with that.
The other interesting thing is because in our sport, typically injuries are multi-week injuries. Mm-hmm. You don't very often get somebody who's just out for 1 week.
Yeah.
If you're playing the same team twice, and let's say you're the Knights, you know, you're copping a team without Ponga or Pierce or any one of the number of injuries they've got twice in a short period of time instead of once. Okay, you've got some injuries. Later in the season, full strength, have another crack at them.
Yeah.
But TV rights rule the day.
Mm.
Yeah, but also, I mean, you know, they buy that software from Canada or whoever develops the software where they punch in all the teams and they punch in all the variables where, you know, certain things have to be met. Like, for example, you know, the Anzac games and all that sort of shit.
Yeah,
then it spits out something that works, you know, in relation to all these, you know, multi variables like venue availability and. You know, because the venues have to work in with multiple sports, you know, in the case of things like Bankwest and, you know, Suncorp, etc. But, yeah, I mean, it is annoying when you... I mean, like, what, we're 12... This is the 12th round into the competition and, like, yeah, Manly's played two teams twice, so... Yeah, already, so, yes, you know, it's a bit fucking crazy, but... Yeah,
oh, we would have analed you whenever we got you. So yeah, it hasn't really affected you that badly.
It's actually good because I mean now we don't have to worry about Penrith again until the grand final, at which point Desi will have the master plan sorted out and it'll be an ambush like it was in 2008 against the Storm. Ryan, actually, no, let's not do that one. Stephen, why is Cameron Munster so fucking hard to tackle? He's not fast. He's not big. He can't be that strong. But for some reason, players all seem to slip off him.
Mm.
I put it to you, he's that strong.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's athleticism and it presents in different forms, and that guy's physical strength for his size and power to weight ratio is fucking amazing.
Yep. And just his base, you know, just his base and balance, yeah, where he can actually, yeah, where he can just, you know, just like, yeah, throw guys off and slip through guys.
Yeah.
Zoran says, why do supporting players always point to the try line when their teammate's going to score? Are they signalling that they think they're dumb enough not to know what to do? However, I can understand it if Fergo was the player in question.
I always took that as they're pointing towards the sticks, saying, yeah, no, it's like,
yeah, it's safe. It's you know, you've evaded all the cover. You're so far in front of the cover.
Yeah.
You are, you know, the runway is clear for you to bring it around closer to the sticks and improve the position for the conversion attempt.
Mm.
Yeah. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah.
I don't think they're saying, yeah, no, you can put the ball down.
Hey, fuck it. Although the try line's over there.
Yeah. I mean, this is not like, you know, fucking under 10s or whatever, where the little cunts run around and, you know, run back over the fucking try line and get into the field of play and then back around and, you know, don't know what to do with it. Simon says, have we seen the end of betting promos like up by 10, get an early payout? I lost my D-Gen multi in the Cowboy Knights game with the Cowboys halftime minus 2.5 leg losing after being in control before the send-offs. Surely no one risks paying out early anymore.
There's
an algorithm for everything still.
That's it.
Mm.
There's still a risk management algorithm, and that's especially as more data comes in week on week, that is going to provide the betting agencies with a safe option that they can advertise to the consumers whilst protecting their interests on the balance of probabilities.
Mm.
And, you know, maybe it won't be as simple as, you know, I'm not a betting expert, but I mean, I'm just recalling, you know, commercials and things like that. They're sort of things like if the team's up at half time, you know, they'll pay out the bet, or up by a certain amount or something, isn't it?
Mm, that's it. Mm.
Yeah, so look, I can see how that shit can turn around real quick, but once again, they'll absorb these new variables into the algorithms that they create their odds upon, and giving themselves the, you know, the balance of probability of winning, and they'll roll out products accordingly.
Exactly,
no doubt about it. Right, that's full time for episode 402. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us in a multitude of ways. Head to thisweekinleague.com/links and you'll find there links to our Patreon, all of our social media communities, and much more. If you'd like to support the show, why not join as a patron at patreon.com/toolnation. Drop us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Just tell a friend. That's the one thing that I'm loving is we see these new people joining up to the Facebook group, for example. And, you know, when someone, it says, you know, you see, sometimes you get this like an influx, there'll be like three or four guys at once requesting access to the Facebook group. And you'll see that it's, you know, someone in the group already has invited like, you know, four of their mates or whatever, and they're all coming in there. So that sort of shit is fucking great. And yeah, it's great to see the community growing as well in there. Tipping, before we get the fuck out of here. Jim Ecker still on top. Duhigg, how about the tip? Warmus, Lachlan H, Beagle 1978, Dipsy, Dana 25, Willie Smash, and Play It Again, Sammy, round out the top 10. And are you putting your tips in, Glenn? Are you in there this year?
No, I'm taking a hiatus from all tipping at the minute. Mainly because I'm shit at it. And I can't not tip the Tigers, so.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, like my glorious tipping competition years were all around, you know, 2007, 2008, like when people weren't quite expecting Manly to win all the time, and they were, and that ended up being the difference, you know, in a lot of the things. But Yeah, I'm making a run this year. I'm only a couple of points out of the top eight, or top ten of the competition. And nice. I'm sure I'll finish around the fucking. I'm sure I'll finish around the 150 mark, like I always fucking do by the time the season's all said and done. That's it. You fellas have anything you want to add before we wrap this shit up?
Not at all.
Nah, I'm good.
Well, that's easy. And on that note, fellas, I'll be talking to you again on Sunday.
Sweet ass. See ya.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.